Good morning, church. The scripture reading this morning is going to be taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13. And it reads as follows. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to everyone.
Good morning, everyone. And Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year. I don't know about you, but it's really good to be alive at this time in the world, because we are the great heirs of a wonderful inheritance. How many of you know that when Jesus was born, I'm sure it wasn't exactly on December 25th, right? And whether he was born on that day or in the spring, sometime around this year, early in the into the spring, whatever, we know that it's historical fact. You know that there are literally dozens upon dozens of messianic scriptures, and it starts off with Genesis 3:15, where the heel of the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And you know who the seed is? That seed is the Christ. It is Jesus. And we know that when he was ready to go to that cross, what did he do? We know from Ephesians that he did conquer death. He did crush the power of Satan. We know from prophecies like in Isaiah that he would be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's a lot of hats to wear. And yet he fulfilled every single prophecy. One of my favorite ones is in Micah. And I love that prophecy because for years, theologians argued, where is Bethlehem Ephrathah? Where's the suburb in Bethlehem where Jesus was born? I know it was out in a manger. But here you have exact geographical fact that says, this is where Jesus was born. And while we know that Joseph was on his way to go take the census, and he couldn't make the extra 2 miles, they have a baby in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, who would become the most awesome, most wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ. You can say it like you mean it, folks. Because there is enough doubt that's being seeded by the world to try to give doubt that you do not have an inheritance. That somehow that it is not a factual, historical, accurate account that you can read about in Scripture, that you can see fulfilled in the life of Christ, where only the only world religion where God chooses to come down and become man. Everybody else tries to elevate themselves to become God. I don't know about you, but I don't think Muhammad is God. I don't think Buddha made it. His version of enlightenment was starving between two trees. I don't think any other world religion has it. I think the Jews got close and just didn't take the extra step. I wish they would. And people who are trying to find it in wine, women, and song through atheism and through by their own power are often disappointed. Amen? Because our inheritance is with Jesus the Christ. And so when Solomon tells us that the end of the matter, the conclusion of all this, is that our life is to fear God, to keep his commandments, it's because Solomon knew that there was one Lord over all. And that that God is real, and he's well worth putting your faith in. And that you have a heritage that is built on a couple thousand years. And I imagine thousands and hundreds and thousands, probably millions, maybe billions, I don't know. But it's a lot of people who have put their faith in the Christ. And I think heaven's big enough for everyone, and I hope we'll take as many as we can. So welcome to each and every one of you. I'm so glad that you're here today. I'm so glad that you've come to worship God and that we have this beautiful season where we can tell other people very openly and very plainly, I invite you to come to church. I invite you to come and meet my Christ. Because Jesus the Christ, he was a real person who was really God in the flesh, who really, honestly, totally, and completely runs everything. And when he conquered death, he took away the last fear that any of us could really have. And there are far too many people sitting in the pews who are not walking in the light when you have the freedom that you can have in Christ. And I want to welcome you to walk in the light, to bring your fears, to bring your concerns, to bring those sins and put them into the light. Because we know from 1 John that that light will cleanse. How? By the blood of Christ. And he wants to do that. He desires to do that. And for too long, we live in a state of fear because we wonder, will we be canceled on social media? Will we be ostracized by the church? Will there be people who look down upon us because of the thing that we go ahead and let out into the open? Brethren, Jesus loves you. God loved you so much that he sent his one and only Son to die for you so that we could all enjoy the same inheritance, which is heaven, which is eternity. And now we can live with that forgiveness. We can live in such a way, in boldness, with courage, with strength. Not because I'm perfect, not because I do everything so right and so righteous, but because of the God who saves me. And there are people that live in darkness because they're afraid to walk in the light. And brethren, I hope you're not like that. It's like this eagle. This eagle, there was a farmer, and he's out in his field one day, and he finds this little eaglet. And it's not quite old enough. It's still got its, you know, fur on. It's not quite feathered up to fly. So he takes it home, and he puts it with his chicken so it can eat. And stay with me. And so this little eaglet starts to act like the chickens. And he's walking around pecking like the chickens, and he's scratching on the ground like the chickens. He's eating the chicken feed. And one day this naturalist comes to the farm, and he wants to meet this farmer who's raising these organic chickens. By the way, it's all organic, right? Have you ever eaten a fake chicken? I mean, there's fake Christmas trees. I've never seen a fake chicken. I mean, I've seen a rubber chicken. And this naturalist says to this farmer, he says, "Man, you got an eagle in there, and it's starting to grow its feathers out, and it looks like it could be an eagle." And the farmer goes, "No, I've had that eagle for a couple months now, and he just acts like the chickens because he's just a chicken now, right? He just learned how to be a chicken." And the naturalist is like, "No, it can't be. He's got to be an eagle." Of course, this eagle never learned to fly yet. Because, of course, chickens don't really fly unless they're trying to get away from something. And even then, they don't really fly. And so, the naturalist says, but that eagle has a heart that's got to have an eagle in it somewhere. So he takes it up to the barn. And he's up on the second loft, in the loft there. And he's like, "Fly, eagle, fly." And the eagle looks at him like he's crazy. And he jumps down. And he goes back into where the chicken feed is with the other chickens, and he starts to peck away with the chickens, and the naturalist is just confused. So he walks down again, and he's like, no, man, you're an eagle. You've got to act like an eagle. So he says, "All right, farmer, give me another shot." So he takes him up to the roof of the house, right? So now there's no barn, you know, lid to scare him. And he says, "You're an eagle. Come on, you're an eagle. Fly. Fly, eagle, fly." And the eagle looks at him like he's also nuts. And he jumps down again, and he flutters down like a chicken does, back with the rest of them to peck away at the seed. Well, man, this naturalist is not going to give up. So now he takes this bird, and he says, "All right, we got to get out of here. We got to go somewhere where you won't see the farm, right?" So he looks off into the distance, and he takes him about an hour or so away, where he's away from the farm. You can't see it. He's up there. He's out in the countryside. He gets up on a rise and he takes that eagle and he says, "Eagle, you're an eagle, fly." And that eagle looks around, he looks back where he thought the farm used to be, and he looks out at the sky, and it's a nice big bright blue sky, and he starts to tremble. And he stretches out his wings and starts to flap, and then he gives that beautiful call, right? The eagle call, right? Have you ever heard that? And flutters off to the sky, never to be seen again. Now, I don't know if that eagle ever came back and ate the chickens. I have no idea whatever happened. I would assume he went, when he finally found his real eagle buddies, he said, "I know a place." But we do know this, the farmer never saw that eagle again, or at least he never saw him eating with the chickens, that's for sure. Christians, the eagle was created to fly through the sky, not scratch on the with the chickens on the ground. We were created to fear God and keep His commandments. We were not created to serve Satan. We were not created to serve our own selfish desires. And yet, when we choose sin and we fall short of the glory of God, which we all do, instead of soaring through the eagles, oftentimes we want to stick our head down there with the chickens and try to hide something to avoid the actual responsibility that could be ours. To claim our freedom in Christ, to claim our inheritance. Christianity, specifically the gospel, calls us to remember our heritage because we have roots. And those roots go all the way back to a cross in AD 33. You're a part of the church. You are now part of the history of the church. The traditions, the achievements, the things that make up the things that you know that have made up Alma School, that have made up the church in general, that go all the way back to the founding of the church. Think of how many thousands of people have died because they knew that this was the truth. Think of the anecdotal evidence that you know about how the other apostles died. And they did so knowing that this was the truth, that this was worth dying for. Think of the early church fathers when you go back in the first couple of hundred years and how much ridicule they went through and how much debate they had to go through to help even a few. Think of Paul being chased from city to city as the Jews were trying to cause him trouble. And yet the church still flourished. Think of the early church in the book of Acts. When you consider that 3,000 were added, and then a few more, and then suddenly the church is persecuted. Brethren, you are part of that history. And that rebellion that you see inside of you to reject Satan, sin, self, and society, that is a good conviction by the Holy Spirit to embrace Christianity, to embrace the Christ, to embrace your brothers and sisters in Christ, and to build your confidence up because you have a heritage. Think about what that looks like in Scripture. You have a future home in heaven, 1 Peter 1. You are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. You are considered as one of the family of Christ. Your brother is Christ. For many of you, Christ, you are a sister to Christ. You have an inheritance, and God gives us this as heirs. Did I earn that? If I inherit something from my relatives, I did nothing to earn it. If you have a vintage or some kind of heirloom or something that you know was passed down to you, it's not because we've earned it or we deserved it. It's because someone thought highly enough of us to give it to us. Brethren, you have been given sound doctrine transmitted and acquired by our predecessors. The accuracy with the translations of the Bible and the copying of the Bible are so accurate that you can comfortably and reliably trust the Scriptures that you read, no matter what doubt that can be seated by the world on the authenticity of Scripture has fallen upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And many, many times, believe me, man has tried many, many times. Right now, there is open attack on marriage. There is open attack on orientation, right? And what you can say and not say. Political correctness, folks, will kill a lot of people. Believe me, when you look at Genesis 1 and how much it's under attack nowadays, remember, there is rock solid evidence that believes that God was the one who flipped the switch to cause those things to happen, and he did so with his own voice. He spoke, and the world came into existence. Brethren, I can't tell my wife something with my voice and expect it to come out of nothing. That's if I'm lucky enough to keep my head, right? But God, remember, how would God send Christ? The zeal of the Lord would accomplish this. He didn't have to lift a finger, his own zeal, his own passion. Because he had set that plan into motion. And because of that, we pass it on to other people. Look at some of your inheritance. How did you acquire that inheritance? Not by your own power, but by the power of God. It's something that's possessed now because you were baptized. You have salvation because of the grace of God. Because you submitted in obedience to baptism. You now have this inheritance that has been given to you. And those scriptures that you have up there on the wall help you to see. It is a blessed hope. It was done in righteousness that you've been regenerated. That you now have a new life. You have the hope of eternal life. You have that in your possession now. So many of us, though, live as though I can't wait to hide. Why? You know this is true. Because when you walk into church, what happens when you had a fight on the way to church in the car? And when you walk in the door and someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, how are you doing?" What do you say? You lie. You know you do it. Because we're often afraid to walk in the light. A lot of children are afraid of their parents because if you don't do what I say, I'm going to take this away. And so they feel powerless instead of, I trust you and I love you. And if the Holy Spirit's convicting you, you ought to do what God wants. Because if you please God, I will be pleased. If you're pleasing God and He's happy, you will be happy. Many, many times we don't really want to give up our inheritance, but sometimes we sure want that extra foot into the world because it looks really good. And sometimes we do it in the church too. We'll say that there are traditions that we need to get rid of, and maybe there are. But some traditions are worth keeping. When you sing, don't you like to sing in four-part harmony? Don't you enjoy having a good voice that you can share and you can blend together and you all can lift that voice up to God? And yet there'll be people who say, what's wrong with bringing a band in? Why? Because it takes away my role to offer God worship from my own heart. There are some traditions that are good to keep because they're biblical. And the way that they've come out in our practice are good. And they're right and they're true. Passing on the heritage that you have, that love for Christ, that desire for His Word, that desire to see other people saved, the desire to see, look, I want my kids to get married and have grandkids. That's one of my mandates for my kids. I want someone to spoil because I'm ready to get even, right? There are some traditions that are well worth keeping. And the world will say, be single. The world will say, go out and sow your wild oats and you can build up your own career and maybe you can support yourself. But I guarantee you that no matter what the statistics are telling us about half of women are not going to be married in the next by 2030 or 2040, about half the people in the U.S. won't be married. Trust me, when you get to my age, you will want children to torture and you will want the future of grandchildren. Because otherwise, who do you share your life with? Who else do you pass your heritage on to? I can tell you in my own family line, my grandfather on my mom's side had three boys. And they've only had one boy among the three of them. And he's not faithful, didn't get married, and doesn't have kids. And I came from a huge family. And when that family line dies, there will no longer be anyone from that family line. That should scare us into, go ahead, have a family. You got a whole church that will help you love them into the fold. You want them to be part of the ecclesia. You want them to be part of the people that gather together each week to worship God. You want them to be together because the church is a kingdom. And this is one of those little miniature kingdoms as we live together with Christ as our head. And as we work together as a body. No, it's not a physical kingdom. There's no promise of a mansion until heaven. And I sure hope it's as good as it sounds. I bet it will be. But it doesn't mean that we're going to get rich in this life in the earthly sort of ways. But you can be heaven. You can have heavenly riches on earth right now. You can have the love of your fellow brothers and sisters and the respect and the cherishment of all of that beauty that comes from being in fellowship with one another. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. But of course, we know that tradition shouldn't supersede Scripture. Obviously, when we do things, we do it because it's based on what we're commanded to do in Scripture. And when we follow that, we don't follow man-made traditions in the sense that we can deviate from Scripture. We're not giving permission for that. But there are certain things that your family has done. There are certain things that my family has done to keep us faithful and to keep us close together. And those are good things. And it's perfectly okay to do them. And concerning the church, why? We want to look to one another to do good for one another. When you think about salvation, we are baptized into Christ. We don't ask Jesus into our heart. I mean, you might mentally assent to that, but your faith has to come into action. And Scripture is clear in the commandment for baptism. There are some things that sound good, but have become tradition for some people that are not scriptural. And certainly we should not let Scripture be superseded by simple tradition. But tradition is not itself necessarily bad. Because ultimately, what is the point? How do you pass on what you believe? How do you transmit that which you want to share with the next generation? We are one church with many, many Christians. And our beliefs are based on the Word of God. That's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by what? By hearing. By hearing by what? By the Word of God. That's how we learn. And that's the very thing that we want to pass on. And if we ever achieve anything in this life, brethren, we want to give the glory of those achievements to God. And what are those achievements that we hope for? Is it that Mercedes-Benz that I really want to buy? Some of you are going to say, well, maybe. I'm going to say, probably not. But if you have one, I wouldn't say no. But your achievements are going to be what? My children are faithful. My spouse is faithful. My grandchildren are faithful. We are close together as a family. We are the type of people that go to church every Sunday. We're going to do everything we can to leave the past. There's nothing that separates you from the love of God. Do you think you can do anything to make God stop loving you? Read John 3:16. For God so loved what? The whole world. That includes you. And whenever you feel like you've separated yourself from God, guess who moved? But God never stopped loving you. Just as He's never stopped loving every single person that's ever been born. Can you let that sink in for a minute the next time you want to self-flagellate because of some mess up you've done? God loves you. And if you can achieve some modicum of success spiritually, give that glory to God. Because history is about to be made, folks, and it continues to be made. I don't get yesterday back. I don't get yesterday's sins back to refix. I can only handle today. I can only work on today. Jesus said, sufficient the evil there is for what? For today. And if you can recognize that God loves you, and He wants you to invite other people to church, and He wants you to do the best that you can, and He loves you anyways, then, man, you can achieve some amazing things in this life, preparing for the next. So, brethren, I hope, just as the song was sung, that you will think about these thoughts today and pass them on. Will you continue in the heritage that you've been given? Will you share in the love of Christ and invite others into that love? Because He does care for every single person on this planet. And if you need that, if you have something you need to get into the light, brethren, we love you. We want you to walk in the light. And I would rather you tell us something that will shock us and scare us and make us wonder, and then we pray about it, and we get over it, and we move on, because you know Jesus is going to forgive that. Put it into the light. Please, don't hesitate. And if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you need to do that to be able to walk with Christ. And we encourage you to do that. Please, don't hesitate. Come.